Right, I'll put it over here. I'm covered my...
They want to blackmail me. They want to blackmail me. I was told that the first schmooze might be chazor for some people, but I think chazor of a good schmooze is always kedai. So bear with me. And second schmooze is too hard to figure out anyway, so it's a great combination. So Pasuk talks about, this week's parasha, about Moshe and Aaron. They went to with the mission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go speak to Paro, take out Klal Yisrael. V'achar bo Moshe v'Aaron v'yomer Paro k'om Hashem k'al Yisrael sh'alaches amim v'yachol b'midbar. So the Yalkut Shmoni brings the whole situation over here. I don't want to be the whole thing necessarily, but I guess we'll try the first paragraph, maybe the third paragraph. Amar Rav Yochanan, the feast about Moshe v'Aaron visit Yisrael, Rotsu Ikanos. They wanted to get into the palace. Ro, Saviv, Poltin, Shalo. Around this palace, they saw Kama Uchusin. They saw tons of people, throngs of people, but it's Dazu, and they got all, like, what's going on? They got all shaken up. Amar Meir, Arba Meir, Spesach, Mayu, Plaflatin. There were 400 doorways to this palace. Me'el Charuach, 100 each side, times 4. Echol Echad Yoshev Shishim Elef Giborim. I don't know what that means, but it says, well, it's a lot of people. 60,000 powerful armed soldiers were there by each doorway. I don't know. Something like that. But it's definitely a lot. Maybe it's an exaggeration, but it's a lot of people. A lot of soldiers was basically impregnable. You couldn't get in. So therefore, obviously, Nes was required, some special Siyat Shmaya, supernatural cultus. Gavriel, the Malach Gavriel came and brought him in into the palace. Kivin Shirah Paro Osans. Once Paro sees them in front of him in the palace, I guess the main by the throne. Amar Mativan Shoelo. Who are these guys? What are they doing here? Biyad Hevi Shor Psachim. So he brings in all the guards, the people who guard the gates, Mehen Harag, and they found out some of them were killed, some of them were Hilka. I'm sorry, he killed them. Hilka, what's going on? You got these people in, and ever Mehemin Acher and Tachtei, and he got fired a whole bunch of them, got other ones instead. Shuvra Mach and Ichsulim say Paro. They came again tomorrow in front of Paro. Karla Shorim, Amrahem, he asked them what's going on. Hech Nichsu Egu, Amrlo, Einon Yodim, Kishapanim, Kashfonim, Hem. They're magical people, sorcerers, right? They're people of magic. Shederach pisachim einam nechnasim. They somehow come in. They don't go through doorways. They get through the walls. I don't know. He couldn't figure it out. But these are magical people with strange powers. They got in somehow. So the whole thing was derech nes, obviously, to get past these guards, get past these hundreds of thousands of guards and powerful people, which Paro couldn't figure out. He killed some of his people because they were mamish. Obviously, they left their post. Nisim Guyim. So what's Paro's response when Moshe Rabbeinu tells him about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mi Hashem Esher B'Kolo, who is this God? What are you talking about? Get out of here, don't bother me. Redat is Hashem. I'm just picking out a couple of the lines of Pesukim, really. Never heard of Hashem. Davar Acher. Skip to Kuf Chav Heir Bosei. Davar Acher. B'Lashon Shechata Bo B'Lashon Asa Tshuva. Paro himself, and using the same language he was chote in, he did use the same language for tshuva. Hu amar mi Hashem? He said, who is Hashem? Mi Hashem? Mi kamoch, and then Bakodesh, so later on in the Kriyas Yamsuf, in the middle over there, when he was drowning, he did tshuva. He said, mi kamoch, and then Bakodesh, the same Russian. V'tziu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what did Hashem do? He did tshuva, he repented, he regretted all his actions, he said, I'm yours, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He recognized how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Nedar Bakodesh, V'tziu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Beit HaBeisim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves him. He was one that was plucked out from the sea, from the raging waters, Ma'amadirim, V'amido L'saper Koach Gros. He kept him alive. And he wanted him to say over, tell him what happened, all the Nisim, what happened, how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Shnemar V'ulam Bavor Gros HaBaticha. I kept you alive for this reason, so you can go tell people. That was the first step. Afterwards, Yehorach Moach ben Nineveh. Years later, I don't know my history, I can't tell you how many years later it was, but years later, his power lived for a while, he became the king of Nineveh. The Shalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yonah L'Nineveh, Rinoveh Oleh L'Achriva. When Hashem sent Yonah as an emissary to Nineveh to prophesy and tell them you better do Shuvah and to destroy Nineveh because they were Risham Ad Ma'od with Geneva, it says Geneva and Gezela and Znus, Shama Paro, V'Omad Al Kisto. So Paro heard what's going on. Paro was the king at that time and he heard what's going on and he hears that Yonah is prophesizing and he's telling the people they're sinning. So Paro got up, stood on his kisei, the chorus, the god, ripped his clothing, v'lobash sakva eifer. V'acher Abram Yom Shavu Mazner. See, basically he helped that Yonah. He helped him. He got up and he cried. It's terrible. The people are not doing properly. He helped them to shuv. He was mochiach them. V'acher Abram Yom Shavu Mazneh Moram. But they went back again. V'nivko, the people in Nineveh were killed, wiped out. So basically, Abram said, "This is alter shmuz." It's unbelievable, he says. Paro, we know, is a very smart man. You know, the whole mitzvah was full of special people who did a lot of powers. They can even, I think, says the kids, the 4 and 5 year olds he brings, were able to do magic. They were all on high madrigas. I don't know about building pyramids, whatever. A lot of stuff there. And then there's the elders, and the Paro was on top of them all. He was the biggest of all. He was obviously a very smart man. And he sees Moshe Aaron get by all his guards, and somehow no one could figure it out. His guards can't figure it out. He had to kill some of them out because it's impossible. What are you guys doing? Not doing your job, obviously, for that. But they realized that it's not true. They got him through super. Sorry. A special kolchos, special divine assistance, obviously. And a smart man does not too hard to figure out for a dummy to figure it out, for sure. A smart man like Paro, who was the highest level in Mitzrayim, he saw these nisim. So what happens? He sees those nisim, and even after some of the makos took place, he still was resistant. He was resistant. He did not go ahead and accede, and acquiesce, and give in, and accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge. He told Moshe Rabbeinu, Mi Hashem Asher B'Kolo, kept denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could that be, Rabbi? It's like, it's mind-boggling. He's just witnessing Nisim, Makos, and Makos, one after the other. Smart guy. But that's the koch Hashem gave us, right? Hashem gave everybody, Paro included, not just the Yidden, but also Paro, gave this koch HaBechira, that a person go ahead, if a person has his Negiyas, he has his drives, he has his Tivus, he has his, let's say it was for, he wanted the power, he wanted to then give up his power from the throne, he wanted to be in charge, didn't want to go ahead and give up the whole country to HaKadosh Baruch and lose all his people, his 600,000 slaves and all the rest of the people. He had his negius over there. But a person is able, so this person who's so smart and sees the Yad Hashem in front of him, is able to deny Yad Hashem, deny the obviously simple indications of HaKadosh Baruch here. No, who's Hashem? I don't think they know. Who's this guy? I never heard of him. You know? I think it says everyone who came in used to bring presents for Paro. And they asked Moshe Rabbeinu, where's your present from your God? I don't have one, didn't give one. You know? Like, what's going on? This is terrible. But he couldn't handle it. And he felt, you know, because I guess it was the koach, the taiva for power and covet and gaiva. But he was powerful enough, the Yetzer was powerful enough, the Bechir that he had was so powerful that he had the ability to choose against all indications, against all clear indications that Kadosh Baruch Hu's in charge over here. That's on one hand, says the altar, but you see from the rest of Chazal, this guy was able to flip it around. He wasn't just, he wasn't a guy, and he had to go ahead and he didn't want to believe in Hashem. There was something, but no, it's not about Hashem. He had his kochos, he had his taivas, he had his challenges, he had his negios, and therefore he couldn't accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But later on, he's drowning, and he sees the Yad Hashem, he does tshuva, such a degree, such a tshuva that Hashem saves him, and he becomes the king later on, and again later on he proves his worth to go ahead and defend HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tell the people to do tshuva. What's with this guy? I mean, he's such a, what do you call him? He's flippant, he's paradoxical, he's a, what's the word in English?
Bipolar, fickle,
okay, all those, there's another word. Whatever it is, Rabbi said, but this guy is nuts, this Paro. Make up your mind. You believe in God or not? If you have something against God, okay, so what happens later on? No, it's not against God per se. People have the bechira, and they can be so flexible. One day a guy could be against HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he has those negiyas against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to believe. Next day, he's his biggest slave, he's his biggest advocate, his biggest servant. He's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right-hand man. That's true, but he tells all the people. He fulfilled what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Bavurzel Samaticha. Hashem planned that he should go tell people, and Hashem knew you do because he was such a Baal Tshuva. He tell people how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu was. That's what happened by Nineveh years later. That both say that's the altar brings that is the koach. A person, we have to hear what koach bechira means. The ability to do whatever a person wants to do, whether it's to right or to left, to believe or not to believe, depends what where's taivas, where's negiyas go. So Paraku, 1 minute, deny Hashem against all odds, against all the indications. Next second, he's Hashem's best friend, Hashem's advocate, because the tide turns. He sees the koach of tshuva. So I guess what it means are both. Is just we should realize that we have these diverse kolchos, and different kolchos, and different, you know, we have just because one day we're down the dumps and we don't want to learn, we don't come to davening, we don't want to do mitzvahs, we don't make brachas, or somewhere in between. The next day, I can do just the opposite. I'll see something a little differently, and I'll have a different desire, a different something else will hit me, and I'll push the right button, and I want to go. I'm going to do shuvah today. I'm going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm going to Torah today. That's the koach rabbi. That's the challenge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the human being. Whether it's a guy, whether it's a Jew, it doesn't make a difference. That's the kochos that a person has, the koach bechira. The power to choose. Nothing is predetermined. It's got to be our own Yerushalayim. There's no predetermination. We have the power to choose what we want to be knowing. Whether it's against all odds, if you have a power from the gear, you potentially can choose the bad. Power from the gear the other way. Or you have a tremendous desire, you're machazik, you're yetzer tov, you choose the other way. It's important to realize how powerful, how much potential the koach bechira is to go either way. Then the pasuk brings, Vayom Moshe, Loshevet Ish, V'yitan Tzipor Bito L'Moshe. Right, he moves in, he goes into Yisro's house, saves the daughters, marries Zippora, says the Yalka Shimoni, what you guys couldn't believe. Vayom Moshe Loshevet Ish, B'shash Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm sorry. B'shash Amar Moshe L'Yisro, T'nali Yisipora B'itcha L'Isha. He says, please, I want to marry your daughter. Tzipora Amaro, Kabel Olecha, Dover Echa. I just want one thing. I want one deal from you. One thing I want from you. Shani Omrucha. And then, if you do that, I'll give her to you as a wife. Amaro Moshe, Mahu, what do you want? What's your problem? I don't have money. What do you want from me? Amalo Habain Shiel Chatchila, your firstborn child, yeah, Lavoda Zara, right? I want you to give him for idol worship, right? He should serve idols, that's the deal. You know, encourage him, whatever, doesn't say exactly what that means, but somehow guide him direction of Lavoda Zara. Be kind of, hey, look, afterwards, Shem Shemaiah, afterwards, you can believe in God, I have no problem, but that's the deal I want. You can have my daughter as a wife, but the first child should be for Lavoda Zara. One of the requests, right? What he the Omer Lo? V'kivolov. Moshe Rabbeinu said, yes, no problem, we'll do it, you got a deal. Mepharshim explained the reason why he did that, why Moshe Rabbeinu was mekabel, because he figured he'll be karev his father-in-law because of that. I think the Baal Turim says that, it's not the Shmuz, but the reason why Moshe was mekabel is because he felt that this is the way to get in. Once he gets in, his koach v'ashpo will be so great to be able to mekabel and turn around his father-in-law. Whatever. My shavali swore to him, that's the deal. Okay. Now just the matters are just a little bit more background. He was a priest, Rabbi Zara. Virash Emma Mamish. He saw that it's a joke, there's nothing here. The idols are worth nothing. He got rid of all. He did tshuva. Achalba Moshe, before Moshe Rabbeinu came. Not because of Moshe, beforehand. The Karl and the Eero, Ramulahem, Adash of Yisi Mshamish Eschem, I used to serve you as a priest. Ma'at Zakin, Ani, Bachru Achem, Komer Acher, take someone else. Omer Behosi, Klei Tashmishe, Moros Chachavmi, went there, took all the idol, the utensils, that's how it's called, gave him everything. You want to have no part of it. Amdu Vinidu. They put him in Chayram. They said, get out of here, we don't want any part of you. So he's not kekelo Adam. No one should attach themselves to him. For Yasulam lochav go yiru esono. No one should help this guy. He's an oisvarf. He left out. He lost it. He's against our God. Against Avodah Zarah. No one should have anything to do with him. No one should help him out. Nothing. They shouldn't have any shaykhs to him. So what happened? He asked them to go ahead. Yes, shepherds, help me out. Take care of my yitzon. Well, Kiblu, they didn't do it. Therefore, who else sends his daughters out? He had no choice. Nobody wanted to help him because he had given it all up. But the one about the Drenner, they came. They were scared. Right? It wasn't just a matter of service them or not, but the whole thing would have, they were afraid for their lives. I think before I should say it, but that's what actually happened. The Rome took the daughters, I think threw them into a pit or something, and Moshe came and take them out. That's by Oshion, he saved them, not just protect them. He mamish, you know, saved their lives, and they were afraid. It says, Pachad Rome, they were mamish afraid they would be hurt. Therefore, he used to come early before the Rome came to avoid interaction. Right? So they shouldn't do, Vigirsha, but also Vigirsha. That's the background of both sides. So what happened over here? This Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, Mesichas Musar, says, he says, Yisro, yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's talk about Yisro for a minute. Yisro was someone who, even before this happened, gave it all up. I don't want to vote a Zara to such an extent. He put himself and his daughters in danger. No one shied us. They were menad to him. They were put in Mecherim. And it was mamish dangerous. But he was such a believer, or such a non-believer in Avodah Zarah, to such degree, he gave it all up. He was put himself in Sakana. He did all that. So what happened? So what was, I guess, this guy Moshe Rabbeinu, big tzaddik, big Yerush Shemayim. He comes, he wants to marry his daughter. He says, on one condition, make sure your first son gets goes to Avodah Zarah. What's with this guy? I mean, he was such a firm advocate and believer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to put himself in Sakana. So why is he doing this? What happened over here? What happened? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says, like this. It's famous Gemara, Kedushin, I don't know, Lamed Aleph, I forgot where it is exactly, I'm not sure, famous Tosis, Gadol HaMesuviyosa, Yosher Mepeinu Mesuviyosa. There's a klal in Hilchas Bechira, so to speak, in Hilchas Yetzahara. When a person does a mitzvah, which he's commanded to do, he gets so much more schar. Says Tos, why is that true? Because the Yetzahara fights him the most, it's the hardest thing. There's a strong resistance that people, I don't want to do what I'm told to do. If my Rebbe, or if my father, my mother, or my wife, or whoever it is, my husband tells me, do something, you better do it. That's the natural reaction. I don't want to do it. I want to do what I want to do. I'm very resistant to what people say. That's why it's God HaMesuvah Yosef. Someone's a Mesuvah, it's much harder. If you overcome the Yetzer Hara, you get much more schar. Someone's not Mesuvah Yosef. You want to become a hero, you want to be a big tzaddik, everyone sees you, and I'm not mechuyev, it's my own free will, that's easy to do, it's not a problem, you'll get so much schar for that. Says Reb Chaim, that's what happened over here. Says, of course Yisro wanted them to become B'nai Torah, God-fearing, law-abiding Jews. One problem, he was afraid that if they put him to Moshe Rabbeinu, if these kids brought Moshe Rabbeinu's house, the koach of Ashpa, the Moshe Rabbeinu Shabo, right? Such a house, can you imagine growing up Moshe Rabbeinu's house, Moshe Rabbeinu Tzipora? Somebody, she was a big tzaddikus also. She was probably influenced also Moshe Rabbeinu. There's somebody even before that, she was pretty good. Moshe Rabbeinu's house, it's like, there's no choice. Like, it's like, it's such a pressure, such a, you have to, you better be a firm person. She was afraid, he was afraid, Yisro was afraid. The kids would not respond properly, they would rebel. I don't want to do that because I'm being forced. I have to be like the Gadol HaDor, because I have no choice. I don't want to do that. It's Gadol Mesuviyosa, right? It would be the tremendous challenge they would have, that the kids would have, that the boy would have, to respond to Moshe Rabbeinu's entreaties, and his hashpo would be it's like a Mesuviyosa, and he might not want it. So what do you say? So therefore, you know, no pressure, just let him go. Tell him, you want to go play ball, you want to go to the church today, fine, go there. Mustambi felt that Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, in the house he's in, without the pressure, would be okay. So his kids would come out good. That's what he probably figured. But he figured, but to put him in a situation where they had no choice, when there's so much peer pressure, so much family pressure, so much Gadol HaDor pressure to be from, that a normal person can't handle. Therefore, he felt the greatest chance to bring up these kids, Rabbi Olson, don't try this, okay? This, I'm not suggesting it, okay? You have to be Moshe Rabbeinu and Yisro to be able to figure out what will come out from it. Well, Lamaisa, Rabbi Olson, that's the concern he had, that because people, he knew, kol chos ha-nefesh, that people resist what they're being forced to do. And being only at Moshe Rabbeinu's house, like they're being forced to go ahead and be from, forced to be over there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was a too big of a challenge, potentially. Therefore Yisrael says, sorry, therefore Yisrael says, go ahead, one condition. At least the first one, it could be the other ones, we must be from the older one. I don't know exactly why it was the difference, but for somebody that followed the first one, he felt the greatest opportunity, the greatest chance they'll have to be from law-abiding Torah Jews by saying, you know, you want to go play, go to the church, fine, go that, but do whatever you want. The Hashbol will still be there. Overall, see, it's such a beautiful home, but that is his own free choice. That's not the pressure of my father. Both, that's such a powerful, such a relevant, such a Lamaistika Hargash, we have to realize that so many times we do things, or we don't do things, not because intellectually it's the right thing, I figured it out, I went through the Shaila, and this is good, I shouldn't do it, now. There's that tremendous taiva, that tremendous negia that we have. I don't want to listen to authority. That's part of Bechira. Part of Bechira is that, you know, it's a challenge, I don't want to listen. Mesuviosa. Whether it's the Torah's Mesuviosa, whether it's Moshe Rabbeinu's Mesuviosa, whether it's, you know, my Rebbe's Mesuviosa, whether it's my parents, whatever it is, it's so hard to both. And we have to try to realize that I'm responding the way I am, possibly because of that consideration. Because I don't want to listen. Not because I'm so smart, not because my parents are so stupid and not so smart, they don't get me, they don't understand the new generation, and we're different, It's because I don't want to listen, I both say. So it's important to be aware, number one, of the tremendous kokos we have in terms of Bechira. Person go any way, and the same person, just because he went one way yesterday, can go opposite way tomorrow, number one. And number two, Rabbo say, number two, Rabbo say, always be aware that we have a tremendous resistance to authority, to someone forcing someone something down our throat. Now, of course, a Rebbe has to realize that also. And if a Rebbe tells a guy, you better do it, you better realize it might not work. You know, so you have to be careful what you push down the Talmud's throat also. It looks both ways, obviously. In general, if we recognize that we have this potential weakness, I guess you call it, this potential defense mechanism, not wanting to listen, it enables us to listen and figure out, when should I not listen?
Who says these two Midrashim agree?
What?
Who says these two Midrashim agree?
They agree.
No. That's why maybe you never said that.
Never said what?
These
are facts. It's not a big thing.
These are facts.
We don't see the arguments. Unless you see, no one says that he wasn't a Kulam. This is a Kulam with Kligi. Everyone agrees to the story. It's not the Kiddush over here.
The story.
He was a
Kulam.
So this Medrash holds a certain way. So
maybe this Medrash holds that this happened later.
That what?
This happened later.
No.
He wasn't inspired to the Teshuvah until Moshe came.
Yes, isn't it also very logical?
Wait, why are you
putting
a gun?
Why are you putting a gun to someone's head? Not forcing them to do something?
Like, yeah, what?
Hashem put Paro in the Yamshe. He's at the bottom of the Yamshe. No other choice to do Tshuva.
Yeah.
So someone put the gun to your head.
No one else in Tshuva. No one else
kept at the bottom for however long Paro was kept.
What's your point?
Then why that Bechira?
I'm saying, he says the tshuva.
He
says the tshuva. You say it's not tshuva, according to you. But
why is that bechira?
I'm saying, he gets credit for doing tshuva. That means it was because bechira. Tshuva means you're both.
If you're forced tshuva.
Okay, so it's not tshuva then. So why is Hashem saying his life? It's
still
tshuva,
just not.
Not tshuva. It's not tshuva.
He was forced tshuva.
So tshuva. It means he came to recognition. Right? He came to recognition.
Because Hashem kept him there in the Yamshuv.
You're saying it's worthless.
Not worthless, just
yes.
It was on his own.
No one says you can't be inspired by it. That's not called not tshuva, that's called bechira. If I give you a whole shmuz, I inspire you to do tshuva. Well, it's because I'm inspired, it's all inside. Bechira, you choose to listen. Other guys,
it was forced on him.
No, it's not forced. It's that he chose.
If someone holds a gun to your head and says, "I'm not letting you leave until you do tshuva," that's forced.
Hello, if it's forced, he gets no credit. Why should someone save him?
But he still ended up doing tshuva, but it was forced.
No, that's not true. If he didn't do anything, if he didn't,
why could it not be tshuva? It was forced.
If it's totally forced, it's worth nothing. Think about that.
Why is that worth nothing?
It's worth nothing. If I twist your arm, you get credit for it? No. Twist your arm. No.
Do tshuva and I do tshuva. Why not? I just was not on my own.
Tshuva is because you decide I want to change. Not because someone too smart. Someone too smart says, you better do this. And he puts the gun to my head and I do it.
Okay,
I'll
get started with that. He forced him to do it until...
That's true. That's true.
Do you see that from one day to the next, it could be different?
I didn't say one day. I said between...
You mean like hundreds of years?
What hundreds of years? We're talking
in between Nineveh and...
I'm saying before that, the truth will be before that. The truth will be here, and later on...
Even there was a build-up. Here he thought...
That people can go to the opposite extreme. That's what you see. This guy, he was so obvious
that people could change?
That people go two different directions, yes. My mission.
Here he didn't believe that it was Hashem.
Here is denying the obvious, very strong thing. I don't want to believe in Hashem.
Why is that the obvious?
Over here... Why is it obvious? I told you, these miracles. It makes sense.
But Egypt was full of magic.
What?
Egypt was full of magic. They were like kings of magic. I don't know. They got teleported.
No, it's on face. He's a powerful person. If a magician tells you, my power is just Hashem, I'm nothing, right?
I don't believe that. I believe you're just a magician.
Next, what were you saying?
But then, why would Pharaoh believe that?
What?
Why would Pharaoh believe that it's Hashem? Yeah, right.
A guy says.
No
one else can do it. So don't say just pure magic. No one else can do
even,
it.
Even they said at the end of the day,
okay, so give him some credit.
But,
it's
not God.
So some reason magic seems to say it is magic. Kashwanim, that they were sorcerers. The measure does sound like that was
what does that mean? That means it's special divine assistance.
No. Right, if I do a magic trick to Revy and I say, because I'm a magician, Revy's going to believe me or is Revy going to assume it's magic?
That's sleight of hand. That's sleight of hand.
And he thought it was just magic because he himself did magic.
What else? Yila
Vodas
Arvi.
Yila
Vodas
Arvi.
What is
Revy?
If I have such powerful forces, powerful things, and I do things which is impossible, and I tell you, Hashem, I'm giving you a message from Hashem. If you don't believe that, then that means you're very strong against Hashem. You're very resistant. That's what it means.
Magicians could do the same thing.
Or right?
They couldn't. It's not true.
They couldn't do this.
No one get in. That was his kasha. That's what his kasha was. If people can do it, so people get in.
I'm sure Pharaoh knew some exceptional magicians that could do something that no one else could do. I don't know how magic works.
You don't know, but I know. Yeah.
In the second shmuz, Yila Vodazara doesn't sound like you do whatever you want. It sounds like I want you to bedavka raise him with Vodazara. It doesn't sound like, well, go out and go play ball and that. Sounds like I want your first kid to be a Vodazara.
I'm not sure, but you make a bigger kiddush. That's what you're saying. And Mamish to counteract the force, the potential.
But that's why
I tried to limit this. I wasn't sure. I didn't want to say.
Or maybe the shmuz is in Yisrael.
You said maybe just get him outside, send him to the church, have a good time. You know, that's what you would tell me. You would have been resisting my pshat. You are now. You would say, yeah,
no problem.
I don't know if it's
way too risky. If it's not big of a chiddush, it doesn't read. So I don't know how.
Where's Chaim getting that to make him have free will so they wouldn't feel forced?
That's the chiddush. That's the whole thing. That's why he.
Where does he get it from? I don't know if he was.
Maybe he did the opposite of Paro and came back to serving idols.
You're right. There's no indication what the answer to this kasha is.
Zero indication.
I said there's no indication, but it's a kasha. What's shot? You have a better shot?
He went back to Avodah Zarah.
Rebbe quoted the Baal Turim.
Wow. That's beside Moshe Ben. Why Moshe accepted it.
Oh, his Tamakasha on why did Yisro accept it if he didn't want Avodah
Zarah. Moshe and Yisro. Moshe Rabbeinu says, yes. What's going on? Moshe says, what's going on? That's about Tum's kasha. Why did he accept it? Why was Yisrael? Why was that his deal? What's he wanting?
But Rabbi's not claiming that's mukha, right?
It's mukha. But you know, when a gadol says it,
it's just that's Torah. Say,
a lot of these altars is not mukha. It's shita seinu. But a person who's big enough can say, that must be the pshat. I'm not sure if I would say it myself. You're right. I'm fine with that.
And why can't it be that he did tshuva on his tshuva? Why can't it be that he went back to Avodah Zarah?
Well, he didn't. Where? What point?
Whatever happened between here and here.
There's not too much time between here and here. He got into the house, so it was all of a sudden he got down to the house tonight.
Yeah.
What year?